Hello, I'm Susan E. Sponberg, and I am going to read you the recipe for my grandmother's Swedish sunshine cake. I find that when I'm stressed or I need to relax, a little bit of baking can be very therapeutic. Now, in this case, the recipe is so simple, and there are only 5 ingredients, that actually it might be more therapeutic to just scarf the whole thing when you're finished baking it. But it's a place to start. And so here we go with Swedish sunshine cake. And I have to apologize that the quantities are not in metric measurements, but I think they would be pretty simple to convert. The first thing I would do would be to assemble my ingredients, which are as follows. 3 eggs, and those would be probably large eggs. You want little tiny ones. 1 scant cup of sugar. 1 scant cup of flour. 1 teaspoon almond extract. And 1/4 pound of melted butter. Now, in the United States, butter comes by the pound, consisting of 4 sticks of butter, so it would be 1 stick, and I don't know how you buy that in the UK or Ireland, so you'd probably just have to either weigh it or work out the equivalent by whatever means you use. So you have your 5 ingredients assembled, and you need probably a medium-sized mixing bowl, maybe a couple wooden spoons, and a small saucepan to melt the butter in, and the baking pan would be an 8 by 8 inch pan, a little square baking pan. So after you have your ingredients assembled, the first thing I would do, or rather the next thing I would do, would be to prepare your baking pan. And by prepare the pan, I mean making it non-stick. So maybe you have a non-stick pan, and that's great. If not, you can use parchment paper. Cut a piece of parchment paper the width of the pan and enough length for it to cover the bottom and go up and over 2 sides. And the remaining 2 sides, you can just use a thin knife or other kitchen tool to loosen, and then before you just can lift the cake out. Another thing you can do is use aluminum foil. Cut a piece that's wide and long enough to mold to the entire inside of the little square pan, and making special care to work the foil into the corners so that the batter doesn't leak out. And the third thing to do, if you don't have either of those other papers, would be to oil the pan or grease the pan with a little bit of butter, and then shake a tiny amount of flour in there so that it sticks to all the surfaces. And that will keep your cake from sticking. Or you can use food spray. In fact, they have food sprays that are especially for baking, and that would probably be a little healthier, although with 1/4 pound of butter in the cake, I don't think this is exactly a heart healthy recipe, which is what makes it so good. So your pan is prepared and your ingredients are assembled. You have your utensils and mixing bowls ready, and now you're going to preheat the oven to 350 degrees, and that is Fahrenheit. So whatever that is equal to in centigrade, if that's how your ovens work, that's what you should do. And while the oven is heating up, take your 1/4 pound of butter and put it in the little saucepan on a burner, extremely low heat. You don't want to burn it. That is a mess and it smells bad. So you just want to let it melt at the slowest possible pace. Now, some people do melt butter in the microwave. If you know how to do that, that's fine. I've never done it successfully. I've always exploded butter all over my microwave. So I find it easier to just take a tiny saucepan, put the stick of butter in there, and turn the burner on very low so that the butter melts very slowly, but it doesn't burn. While that is doing its thing, then you can take your 3 eggs and crack them into the mixing bowl and beat it very well with the wooden spoon. You could use an egg beater or even an electric beater. I'm old school on this kind of thing. I suppose an electric mixer would be, or if you have a hand beater, would be the most efficient thing. But let's pretend that since we're doing therapy here with this, we're going to take out some aggression on those eggs. And you want them to be really light and fluffy. So as you're beating them, you're gradually going to add in your scant cup of sugar and beat those two together until you have a pale, fluffy, really aerated mixture. This cake, the consistency of this cake is a little bit spongy, but the crumb is more like, let's say, angel food cake. So you want a lot of air in the egg and sugar mixture so that it will be nice and fluffy at the end. And then you will start adding the flour very gradually and continue to beat. And you want to do that, as I say, gradually, because otherwise, you know, it's really hard to stir and there might be lumps. So just a little bit at a time with the flour, adding the flour. And finally, when you're finished and the flour is completely folded in, then you're going to take your melted butter, add your teaspoon of almond extract, and then fold that blend into your dry ingredients. Well, I guess eggs aren't really a dry ingredient, but into your egg sugar flour mixture. All of this is taking much longer to explain than it will actually take to do. But you fold it in until all the ingredients are mixed. You've got a nice sort of pale yellow, eggy, buttery smelling, delicious batter. You pour that batter, when it's nice and smooth, into your prepared baking pan, and you pop it into your preheated oven for about 30 minutes. You just sort of have to watch it. It should rise up nicely in the middle and be just a light golden brown on the top. Now, there are different schools of thought, and I have to say that I differ from my grandmother on this topic. She always made a little glaze to pour over the top of the cake. She just used fruit juice, let's say a little bit of orange juice, and some powdered sugar, which is, I think you call that icing sugar. And it's sort of a made up, there are no firm quantities. You just sort of work the two together until it's smooth with no lumps and pretty thin. Then when the cake is completely cooled, you would drizzle that over the top, just for a little added something. You don't want to do it when the cake is still warm, because it'll just soak into the cake, and which will make your cake so sweet that your teeth will fall out, and it just won't be very pleasant, and it won't look as nice either. So when the cake has to be completely cool before you use the glaze. I am a non-glazist. I have never found the need for any kind of glaze on this cake. I find it delicious just the way it is. So after it's achieved its risen state, not to be too theological, and is a nice golden brown on top, take it out of the oven and stand it on a wire cooling rack till it's nice and completely cool if you're going to glaze it, or fairly quite cool. I wouldn't try to cut it while it's still hot at all. It gets too crumbly that way, and it isn't as tasty. I think you need to let things get more to room temperature for them to taste proper. Just my opinion. If you have lined, well, you should take, probably you can let it sit for a little while in the pan, and then take the cake out of the pan. If you've used the liners, otherwise you can just cut it in squares and eat it up. And that's all there is to it. I don't know if this has been relaxing for you to listen to. I think actually making the cake will be a nice, relaxing time. And you will have a delicious treat at the end. So that is it. Grandma Sponberg's Swedish Sunshine Cake. Enjoy it.